You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Pelicans, your Thursday edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Don't forget to give the podcast a follow. It's at Locked On Pels. Should be pretty easy to remember. No games today. We have one tomorrow against the Los Angeles Clippers going for their, that'll be their sixth straight win at home if they can beat the Clippers after dispatching LA the other night in pretty dominant fashion. So a bit of a slower news day for the Pelicans. So I thought it might be fun to do a mailbag podcast and, get some questions in, give you guys some answers, maybe provide a little bit of insight to the questions you really want to know, as opposed to me just thinking of topics and recapping games and going on and on and on. I'm sure you all get sick of my voice saying at times the same thing. So I thought this would be fun today. So I've got a bunch of questions for you. A few friends of mine were even texting me trying to get questions in, acting like they knew a guy who, you know, had this ability, pull some strings. We'll see if they made it in or not. But this should be a fun one. I've got about eight or so, maybe a little bit more than that, depending on time. Don't want to keep it going too long, and we can always answer these questions another time. If you ever have questions you want answered on the podcast, tweet them at me. Again, it's at NolaJake or at Locked On Pels. I keep track of both those accounts as well, along with the BourbonStreetShots.com account at times. So be a little tough to manage. So if I don't answer them right away on Twitter, no, they might make it in here. I'll keep doing podcasts like these. These are pretty fun to get questions from people. Like I said, it's nice to know what the fan base wants to talk about and what matters to you all as opposed to what I think is important. So going to be a lot of fun today answering these questions. Some of the topics, obviously Tyreke Evans, I'll touch on him and the injury update on that potentially, where he stands when he might be playing, coming back. Don't know for sure just yet, but it sounds like it's going to be soon. That's a good thing. We'll touch on it in one of the questions. Someone asked me a question about Sam Hinkie. I've got a lot of thoughts on him. That'll be a fun one as well. We have one or two fun questions that are just kind of out there to give you just some silly answers to as well. So it'll be a good podcast. Don't forget, we are on iTunes, Audio Boom. Please subscribe however you like to listen to your podcast. Subscribe if you can, rate it 5 stars. That's a very good thing for the podcast as well. Share it with your friends. If you've got one friend who's a Pelicans fan, tell them about it. You can listen in the morning, night, while you're exercising, whatever it is. That's why I put these out at 6 a.m. for you guys. It comes out the same time to create some consistency there. And also, if anyone's interested in advertising on the podcast, you hear me do reads for different companies at times. It's a good way to reach a large audience, a very targeted demographic. So I'd be willing to tell that to anyone here. So if anyone's interested in advertising on the podcast, we have a way to set that up to sponsor different things, whether it's just an ad in the podcast or you want to sponsor a segment, the whole podcast, whatever it is, definitely reach out. The email I usually use for that, it's just jake@bourbonstreetshots.com. Pretty simple, you guys. So let's just dive right into everything and the questions you all tweeted at me. First question we're going to get to today, it's going to be about Tyreke Evans, his role and the best lineups with him in, where I see him fitting in, that sort of thing. First, I want to say it does sound like he might be coming back to play on Friday against the Los Angeles Clippers. It was said on the telecast, Joel Myers said he had heard a rumor and, you know, wasn't certain that Evans might be back. Jen Hale had said that as well, says he's probably going to be on a 16 to 20 minute minutes restriction, which sounds about right for someone coming back from injury who's been out about a year or so, let's say. That's rounding up, of course, but who's been out for a while. That seems about right. It's kind of what the Pelicans have done with Drew Holiday in the past. So that seems to make sense. And if he can come back, it's certainly going to be needed for the Pelicans. So his role. When he comes back to start, you have to figure he's going to be a bench player. I don't see him in a starting lineup with Drew Holiday, Tyreke Evans, say someone at the three, whoever it might be, whether it's Hill, Cunningham, and then you have Anthony Davis and Omer Asik, or Anthony Davis and Terrence Jones. Evans doesn't help the spacing in that lineup. I wouldn't put him in there, you know, unless all of a sudden he's miraculously become a very good three-point shooter. He's improved in his time with the Pelicans, but hasn't been a consistent threat like, say, someone Eric Gordon was, or Ryan Anderson, or even a guy like Etuan Moore, or anything else like that. So I don't expect him to be in the starting lineup. His role should be to use to lead that bench unit. Right now, the Pelicans have started Tim Frazier and Drew Holiday in the same backcourt against the Lakers. I don't hate that. I'm going to talk more about that on Friday. tomorrow, but I don't hate that backcourt as much as I thought I would. And I talked about it a little bit yesterday. I'm going to talk about it in depth more tomorrow. So if you keep Frazier in there in the starting lineup, you have Evans leading that second unit. So you'd have a lineup of Evans, of Buddy Hield, Langston Galloway, Etuan Moore, so, you know, some combination of guards from that, along with Terrence Jones, Solomon Hill, Omer Asik, Alexei Ajinsa, maybe Cheick Diallo at times. And all of a sudden, that seems to make a little bit more sense. Evans is better suited to playing with a lot of shooters. That gives him space to attack the rim. And I see that's being the best way where he can succeed. So a follow-up to this question is actually not a tweeted-in question. It's from my friend Zach Vaughn. He's a bartender down here. He's worked at the Columns in the past. He's all over the place right now. You can often find him at Cellar Door downtown. And he said, you know, hypothetically, you know, we've heard that Alvin Gentry wasn't a big fan of Tyreke Evans. And so if Gentry's still here, is Gentry going to play him and use this talented player? Or is he going to whine and kind of stick him on the bench and maybe not be in position to succeed? Right now, I think it's very clear that Gentry's coaching to win games and not worried about the future. You see it with Buddy Hield's playing time, and that's going to lead into the next question. But again, Gentry is coaching for his life, his job potentially. Getting a player back who can help you, you're going to play him because you need him. It's as simple as that. Right now, Gentry isn't worried about developing young guys, let's say, in Buddy Hield as much. He wants to win. Tyreke Evans, even if it's 15 to 20 minutes, will provide positive value and better value than, say, someone else would. So that first question came from Ryan Hebert. His Twitter handle is at RyanHebert89. Pretty easy. Next question we have is coming from Kyle Williams. His Twitter handle is at PrinceWilliams0. And it's, what do you think about Buddy Hield's playing time? And I know this is a hot topic right now, especially because you don't see him checking in. Since holidays come back, his playing time's dropped significantly. You don't see him checking into games until late in blowouts, as was the case against the Lakers the other night, and maybe you could have gotten him some playing time earlier. So what do I think of his playing time? I think it's fine, to be honest. Right now, I'm more worried about wanting Anthony Davis to stay here, building a culture, getting wins, getting all these players in the right mindset, and building momentum. I'm not as worried about developing Buddy Hield. Again, it takes about 2-3 years for rookies to really start positively impacting a team's win total. Getting Buddy Hield 5 more minutes here, 8 more minutes there, it's not going to help right now. The clock is ticking on the Anthony Davis era here a little bit, and they need to just prove that they can win. Go out and win games and don't play a guy who's actively hurting your team right now. And Buddy's doing that. He's missing wide open shots. He's not attacking the rim like he could be. I think the bigger thing for him is shoot a lot in practice, work with the coaches, trainers, developmental guys on the side. During practice, in between downtime, get to the gym early on days they have practice and work out more then, whatever it takes. The reason you're not seeing him come in for 2 or 3 minutes here and then later in the game another 2 minutes is he's a shooter. He needs to be in a rhythm. If you play him in that kind of chopped up time, it's not going to help him develop with 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes at a time. You want him out there in spurts, 10 minutes, 8 minutes, something along those lines. They just don't have the minutes for that right now. Maybe further down the line, yeah. This is a team that thinks they can get back into playoff contention and maybe make a run in the second half of their schedule, the second half of the season. Right now, Buddy Hield's just the odd man out, but he partially did it to himself. He hasn't played well when given the opportunity. If you're Gentry and you're worried about your job future, you can't play him right now, unfortunately. Next question comes from Cameron Gill. It's at Cameron is my name. And his question is rebounding getting better? And that's a good question. I've worried a little bit about the defensive rebounding, especially in small lineups where you have Anthony Davis at center, Terrence Jones out there as well. Solomon Hill, Dante Cunningham, they're a bit undersized for fours. They're not great defensive rebounders as is. Tim Frazier, not a great rebounder. Same thing with Etuan Moore and these other guys. They just don't have a very good defensive rebounding team. But the Pelicans are actually rebounding a bit better, especially defensively over the past couple of games. Helps that teams are missing a lot, which can give you higher rebound numbers, though the percentages might not increase. But anyway, the biggest thing here is actually Drew Holiday. He's always been a very good rebounder for a guard. Part of that's really due to his defensive ability. I'm going to give you the example of Tim Frazier first. When he's guarding someone one-on-one and they blow by him, he's out of position. All of a sudden, if the player with the ball missed their shot, if Tim Frazier was beaten, he's behind that player with the ball. So there's no one in the way of the player who missed the shot in the rim. Tim Frazier doesn't have anyone to box out because he was missed. Holiday can stay in front of his defenders, between them and the rim, so that when those guys attack, if they do miss, all of a sudden Holiday just needs to turn around and box out and he can get the rebound. That's how important he is at times, especially defensively. He doesn't get beat a lot. He doesn't get blown by a lot. And I think that's really one of the reasons this is helping this team rebound. The other thing is, when he does keep a guy out, if they shoot and miss, there's one less person to try and grab the rebound. You're not worried about that guard getting the rebound because most likely one of the bigs is there to clean it up, and there's one less person they need to worry about. So it all kind of compounds on each other, and it's certainly leading to them rebounding better currently. And you've seen it at times. They struggle defensive with defensive boards, and it can kind of kill them a little bit. It happened in the Mavericks game. But overall, yeah, the team's getting a little bit better. You know, they're in the top half of defensive rebounding. You'd like them to be higher, especially, like I said, when you're giving up lots of offensive rebounds and you're a bad defensive team, they're going to keep scoring on you guys. So work smarter, not harder. And at times the Pelicans are doing that, so there is reason for hope there. Moving on, Caleb Lampert sends in a question in his Twitter handle. It's at Caleb Lampert. Sometimes you guys make this really easy. That's much nicer. I'm not having to say a bunch of weird things. Anyway, could the Pelicans land Nerlens Noel with Tyreek Evans, Omer Asik, and a first, and would I do it? And the question is, first, no, not a damn chance. I'm going to tell you guys why. One, here's the issue with Evans' trade value. I think he has more than than I would have said at the start of the year, and I'd actually devoted a podcast to this. His value actually comes from being a bit of an expiring, and the only reason expirings have value after we saw them have zero recently is because they revised the salary cap expectations, and it's now, I think it was like $2, $3, $4, $5 million below where they thought it was. So teams that were planning for $5 million more in cap space to sign a max guy or to sign a big money guy don't actually have the space to do it anymore. So they need to shed some salary. Best way to do that's trade long-term existing guys for an expiring right now. That's where Evans gets value. So if they trade Evans, they're taking long-term money back, guys on 2, 3, 4 year deals. They're not going to trade him for another expiring or anything like that, or a cost-controlled type player. Those have more value. So you're going to get role players on longer contracts. It's probably going to be that. So as for Noel, no, I don't do that deal. One, it's the injury history kind of worries me. Two is he's an expiring in a way too. He's going to be a restricted free agent. Someone will throw big money at him, and then the Pelicans are forced to decide if they want to match or not. You could say maybe trading Evans for that is a good thing, but the problem is I don't think Evans will get Noel by himself. I think you got to maybe include a pick, and it's not worth it to me for that first round pick. So at the end of the season, if they trade for Nerlens Noel, the Pelicans are faced with, hey, do we give them that little mini max after their first contract, that 3, 4 year max deal, or do you let them walk potentially? And now you're in the same boat. So say you max him. Now you've just traded Omer Asik's bad contract and signed a guy to another bad contract, so you're essentially just spinning the wheels there. Yeah, Nerlens Noel has maybe higher upside than Omer Asik does, but he also has that injury risk and hasn't played a lot in his time in the NBA. He hasn't played yet this season. So that isn't going to give you a ton of confidence that he's going to contribute, and then all of a sudden you're stuck with another long-term contract that you can't move because the guy hasn't played or he's not good. That first-round pick, I don't even want to risk that on Noel. Also, can you imagine if Demps trades a first-round pick for Nerlens Noel, who he could have just drafted? That's probably running through his mind in some capacity, and I don't think he wants to be on the end of that. So still talking about that theme, Benjamin Alterman sends in his Twitter handle, it's Ben_Alterman, is keep or trade the pick, and what players would I be targeting? So I've gone back and forth on this, and again, I'm kind of in a not quite a panic mode about this team, that clock's ticking on Anthony Davis, and I want to make some moves now to show him that they can win. Even if you tread water and keep making the playoffs, that's better than not making the playoffs and having starts to seasons like this that they're having now. And this might change depending on how Holiday keeps impacting this team. If all of a sudden they start winning a bunch, maybe you don't need to trade this pick and keep it. Draft a guy that could be potentially a superstar depending on where it's going to fall in the draft, or trade it in the offseason when it might have a little bit more value. So, but in general, yeah, I lean towards trading it. bring in a guy that can contribute right now, show Anthony Davis you're still willing to make moves, bring in someone he gets excited about. You know, they consult him on all of the, off-season moves they do, all of the personnel moves they do. So I think he's a good guy to try and bring in on these conversations when you're looking to trade the pick. You know, you look for one of three things if you're the Pelicans, and with Tyreke Evans coming back, I think it kind of rules out one, and that would be a guard who can kind of create his own shot from three and by attacking the rim. You know, they were rumored to be interested in Tyus Jones earlier in the year. I think they've had ties to Zach LaVine before. I don't know if you want to trade a first-round pick necessarily for Jones. You would probably certainly do it for LaVine, sorry. And I think that would be a good move. But you look for another small forward. I don't think Quincy Pondexter is going to be the answer. I have no idea when he's coming back. I saw him warming up yesterday, and frankly, his body's just a weird shape. The legs have so little like muscle mass to him right now, and I guess that's what happens when you don't play basketball for a year and a half. He looks very odd. I just don't trust that he's going to come back and really impact this team in a positive way, and maybe I'll be proven wrong, and I hope I'm going to be proven wrong, but I'm not going to bank on that right now. So I think you look for a small forward, someone to fix that and shore up some wing depth. The other thing, and I've talked about it before, is you look for a big to pair with Anthony Davis. Vucevic in Orlando would be a good one. I don't like the bigs we have on this team as long-term pairings with him. You need someone with kind of the same unique skill set that he has. But unfortunately, those don't grow on trees. They don't have the money to go out and sign one in free agency. So you might need to get creative and take a poor man's version of that by using that first-round pick. If they do that, I'd be okay with it. You know, if they keep winning, this first-round pick's not necessarily going to be that great. But if they think it's going to fall in the top five, you might want to keep it just to see and maybe get Davis excited about taking another rookie. The problem is, rookies, again, don't contribute to your win total for 3 years. By then, you're in the end of Anthony Davis' extension, and now you're worried if he wants to bank on the potential of the young guy you drafted a couple of years down the line, or if he just wants to go off and join another team and make his life easier. And after what Durant did, who knows what that's going to be? And I don't necessarily feel comfortable rolling those dice. So, you know, I'm more in favor of trading the pick than keeping it. So let's keep with the front office theme here. In John DeOrio Court, it's at Kibner, K-I-B-N-E-R. That's one that doesn't match. Asks, if the current front office is gone, would Sam Hinkie be a good option? And this is a great one to talk about today because Chris Ballard yesterday had that amazing article on SportsIllustrated.com on Sam Hinkie doing some follow-ups. Really cool thing, by the way, is if you listen to the Locked On NBA podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, it's hosted by David Locke, the head of the network. Ballard gave one interview about that article, and he gave it to David with Locked On NBA. So if you're interested in Sam Hinkie, read that article, then search for that Locked On NBA episode that has Ballard, the writer of the article, talking about it. Some absolutely great insight into a guy that is really a polarizing figure. Either you really like him or you really don't. I don't like him personally. I agree that I think he's won almost every trade he's made. I think he, you know, kind of took the Pelicans in that Drew Holiday deal. He was a little bit shady on his end by not disclosing a lot of the medical stuff, clearly. But leave that out of it for now. I think he's won most of the deals he's made. The problem is those deals never really improved his team. And I don't want a GM, especially when you have Anthony Davis here, where you're just kind of spinning the wheels. He kept churning out, trading second-round picks for more second-round picks, for more second-round picks. What he does really well is he uses the cap space that he had in Philly as an asset. We'll take a player you don't want, and we'll pay him just so you get him off your books, but you got to give us something we want in return, whether it is a second-round pick or a first-round pick. He did a lot of deals like that, and I really liked those. I also have an issue with if you're trying to land a star and your plan is to do it through the NBA draft, but you're not a tremendous talent evaluator, you might want to be looking at it a different way. So those are a lot of the reasons. I also just don't like all of the MBA speak, let's call it MBA, not an N, an M. Where you lose, you know, regression to the mean I use here all the time, that's a good one. But when you have a lot of that jargon, it comes off like you're a robot or so different and drives me insane at times. There's a better way to approach it. That article that Ballard wrote at times makes me want to just like punch Hinkie in the face. I don't know him personally. Actually, he's probably a really nice guy, but by all accounts, that's really what it sounds like. But I don't like a lot of that jargon. I'd rather have a more straightforward GM, someone who isn't spinning the wheels. I get what he was doing. It's not the approach I would go to building a team. So that's personally why I wouldn't want him. But the real question is, would Tom Benson want him? One, he's probably going to command too much money, and Benson wouldn't want to pay it. There's always those rumors of Benson being cheap. So, you know, and there's truth to those rumors. So would he, you know, give Hinkie a contract that Hinkie would accept? Probably not. If Hinkie wanted a different challenge and could go about, you know, building a team a different way, he'd probably love to come here with a superstar already in place. That was always his goal. But I'll touch on that in a sec. That brings up an interesting point. So anyway, would Benson, you know, one, probably isn't going to pay him enough to get him to come here. Two, I don't think Benson would like that use of cap space. I don't think he'd want to play players just to get additional first round picks or anything like that. I think that's too rich for Benson's blood. So he wouldn't like that move whatsoever. But Hinkie, if he was, would probably really like this team. His goal was always to land a superstar in Philly. Maybe they've got one in Embiid. Didn't work out with Noel. Didn't work out with Okafor. And Embiid missed his first year in the NBA. But, you know, he would have a superstar here in Anthony Davis, and then he could go about the second part of the plan, which was building a title contender around them. The issue is this team's capped out a little bit. They don't have cap space. He couldn't use that to bring in additional first-round picks and then maybe spin those for other players. So it would be a problem. I don't know if he would necessarily work here in this situation, but it's certainly an interesting thing to consider, and I know there's a lot of Pelicans fans that would kill to have him here on this team in New Orleans. Last two questions here before I wrap up, and the second to last one, our penultimate question, comes from Tejeda. It's at BTejeda1. It's, as a person who covers the Pelicans in depth, what has been the most frustrating and exciting things? Well, the most exciting thing is definitely going to be Anthony Davis. I get to go to every game. I have season tickets myself. That's where I sit, actually. I do the media thing before, and then I go sit with my friends and enjoy the game partially. Is Anthony Davis. You never know when he's going to have a good game or do something amazing, and it's so much fun to watch him play. And it's absolute pleasure. You know, I had season tickets to Chris Paul's last year. I'd gone to games, you know, plenty of times every year before that watching Chris Paul. And when you have a great player, it's really fun to watch them. And, you shouldn't take it for granted. So, you know, you definitely want to get to the Smoothie King Center and watch him while he can. And hopefully he never goes away and he can love us forever. That would be wonderful. BFFs. You know, the most frustrating thing is probably the injuries. Part of it is I do more analysis than just straight journalism reporting on the news. And when you're trying to analyze this team and make sense of things, when guys aren't out there on the court, it makes it tough. When, you know, you have what you think is a core four or five guys and they only play together 15, 20, 30% of the time, how do you analyze this team? How do you judge this team? And it makes that part really hard. You've got to look other ways, but you're never looking at the complete picture. And that drives me absolutely insane, because I'd much rather look at the complete picture and be able to tell you guys with, you know, much more certainty what's going on with this team, where they're going wrong. Is this the core? But with all the injuries, it's just impossible to judge. We still don't know if Jrue Holiday is the right guy to pair with Anthony Davis. It looks at times like it should, but again, we don't have a large body of work to necessarily measure this off of, and that's a really frustrating thing. And the last question, we'll end on a fun one. Andrew, it's Denia, D-E-N-E-N-E-A. It's at Andrew, D-E-N-E-N-E-A. I'm not even going to try and botch a name here. That would just be mean. What TV characters do the players on the team remind me of? First, I think you'd have to go with Anthony Davis as Superman. I know he appeared in the Supergirl TV show a little bit. Dude's just superhuman, can do everything. His jumping ability, the reach and the speed he has. You know, he's been looking more like a guard this year at times, and it's pretty impressive. I'd do better doing this just as referencing every character as a superhero overall. Maybe we'll do a podcast about that one day. As I think a lot of my Twitter followers know, I deal with superheroes on it a lot, almost on a daily basis. So a lot of fun to try and compare him to those guys. But other TV characters, T-Bob Hebert, host of the show on WWL Radio, Double Coverage from, was it 8 to midnight, something like that, I forget. I'm a guest on there pretty frequently. He always says that Omer Asik reminds him of Hodor for Game of Thrones, this just big lumbering dude who does that sort of thing. He always thinks, you know, he could see Omer Asik as like a Turkish gladiator too. Not quite Hodor there, but that's who it reminds him of. I don't watch a ton of TV, to be honest. My girlfriend's a huge American Horror Story fan, so I watched this most recent season, the Roanoke Nightmare one, and one, did not like that. I hope the other seasons are better. I'm apparently going to try and watch some of these to see, but oof, that was bad. Kind of all of the characters in that show pissed me off. So I'm going to say the entire group of characters from American Horror Story, the most recent season, reminds me of Ryan Anderson, because he pissed me off after he threw the team under the bus when he was in Houston, saying he got more looks in practice there than he did in all his time with the Pelicans. I've written articles about how many open shots he was getting. Lots of ones with pictures and GIFs and everything in there. So I can tell you for certain he had a lot of open shots here. So like that TV show and all of those characters, or at least that season, he pissed me off, and that's why he reminds me of them. So before I keep ranting about Ryan Anderson, who's gone, we should move on, right? We're going to end it there. So thank you all for listening to the mailbag edition of Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You guys definitely listen to Locked On NBA with David Locke, where he's talking to Chris Ballard about that Sam Hinkie article. Hinkie's an interesting figure. The dude's going to be like studied and dissected for years to come with his tenure with the Sixers. So it's worth reading the article, then go listening to the podcast, especially because if they fire Dell Demps, I guarantee you Hinkie's name is going to come up potentially as a replacement, though I would be willing to bet a lot of money that won't work out here. And then he won't be coming here in the first place. But something interesting to think about, interesting thought experiment. Let me know if you guys would like Hinkie or not. I'd like to see that. Maybe do a Twitter poll at Nola Jake again. So thank you all for listening. I'm your host, Jake Madison, like I just said, at Nola Jake on Twitter. The podcast account, it's at Locked On Pels. Tweet any questions you guys got. If you're interested in advertising, email me. It's jake@bourbonstreetshots.com. Pretty simple. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow. We're going to preview the Clippers game. Can the Pelicans make it 6 in a row at home? Clippers have been playing well. This is going to certainly be a tough game and a tough test, but after they shellack the Lakers like that, you never know. So thank you all for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, share, whatever it is. I love it. Thank you all, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow. Napa
know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.